at the end of the day, it feels good to know that you actually learn something new and you go beyond your extent.
The ballet Giselle is pushing high school dancers beyond their comfort zone at the Joffrey.
And you gotta remember to point your toes at all times.
While About-Face Theater is helping young people feel more comfortable with themselves through storytelling.
I sometimes ride the brown line for visual posterity to get away from the dark and disparity of rundown red subway walls.
And the relatively new Chicago High School for the Arts is helping students find their voice.
I was gonna take control of me, but eventually realized...
This hour, we're taking a look at arts education programs exposing students to dance, theater, music, and more.
It's Arts After School, coming up after this short break. Welcome to this edition of Arts After School. I'm Steve Robinson.
And I'm David Polk. This is the final of four programs that we're airing this month, profiling just a few of the many programs exposing some of the city's young people to the arts.
And last week, we featured some of the city's media programs, and before that, we featured some theater and music programs. If you missed them, by the way, you can find them all online. Our address is wfmt.com/artsafterschool.
And emphasis on some of the city's arts programs. There are so many that we didn't get to cover in this series. We're really just scratching the surface here.
And we should also mention again that while the programs that we've been exploring, all of them public-private partnerships, may be numerous, nobody that we spoke to for this series, including teachers and artists, administrators and researchers, think that these programs are a substitute for mandatory arts education in the public schools.
Right. These programs still can't cover all students, but they do provide enrichment and a laboratory for educational experimentation and an outlet for students who are lucky enough to be able to participate.
Well, David, this is the last program in the series. What are we going to be hearing?
There is a new high school in Chicago that we'll be hearing about at the end of this hour for students who want to focus on the arts both before school and after school and in school, probably for a lot of them in their sleep, too.
Right.
I'll be profiling the Chicago Public High School for the Arts, or it's also known by its nickname, Chi Arts. This is a public school that was created through a public-private partnership with the city's philanthropic and arts communities. We'll also hear about the About Face Theater's youth program. The theater focuses on telling stories of the city's queer communities, and we'll hear about two dance education programs this hour. WFMT producer Noel Morris visited the Deeply Rooted Dance Theater on the South Side, and I learned all about the student programs offered by the Joffrey Ballet, which we'll listen to now. As you'll hear in a little bit, the students even taught me a few ballet moves when I visited their studios in downtown Chicago. Ballet dancers may dance softly when they're performing on stage, but it turns out that making this possible requires the aid of a big stick. A big rehearsal stick, to be exact. And every dancer, at least in Joffrey Ballet's after-school program, has an opinion about this stick.
Normally he uses the stick to make sure that you're in line, like your back is straight, the knee is turned out.
The stick is every dancer's worst nightmare. My ballet teacher always had a stick. You didn't see Miss Maria without one.
I actually like it because it keeps the rhythm if you can't really hear it in the music.
It's like he's just there and he's like pushing you even further to go over the stick or under the stick. So he uses that to intimidate you, to make you go harder and, you know, to push you, to push more deeper into yourself and go beyond your limit. So it really helps though sometimes, because you're like, oh, I didn't know I can go that far back.
Do you dream about the stick?
Sometimes I do, because sometimes I would go to sleep and I'd be like, where is that pounding coming from? Like, why do I constantly hear this? And then like sometimes coming before class, I'm like, okay, here goes that stick. I'm so ready for it today, so.
The stick actually came because normally when I wear my ballet shoes, every time I would touch somebody to give them a correction, I would get shocked.
And the wielder of the stick and the director of these rehearsals is Pierre Lockett.
I am the director of community engagement programs for the Joffrey Ballet.
Five and six and ready and go. Fondue one. So that's what the stick actually came for.
Can you describe the stick first?
Yes, the stick is like a... it's a cane, actually. The only thing that's missing is a little knob on it, and it's got a white tip, and it's black, and it's got a white bottom. And it really is primarily for me to be able to get access to the kids so that neither I nor the kids get shocked. Because the electrostatic from the shoes that I wear, that's why I'm not wearing shoes today. The electric static always provides a shock, so I kind of feel I don't want to really touch them. So
it's omnipresent.
You know what? It also is really good for keeping tempo, too. That works. It works.
And while Pierre Lockett's title is officially Director of Community Engagement, this, in my opinion, doesn't even come close to fully describing what he does. He's also directing this rehearsal for a group of about 15 teenagers who've assembled at Gallery 37 in the Loop on this weekday afternoon to prepare for a big spring performance. And it's probably safe to say that he doubles as the chief mentor, instructor, confidant, friend, and coach of these students.
Yeah, I guess you can say so. I know he has whipped me into shape, for sure. He will tear down your ego if you have one. Hi, my name is India Khan. I am a senior at Dunbar Vocational Career Academy. He'll give you tough love, but in the end, you really know he cares for you. He has a soft heart. He has a soft heart no matter how many sticks he pokes you with.
And according to India, and just about every other student I talked to, rehearsals are an intense affair.
Very intense. What happens is Pierre comes and he tortures us and he makes us better dancers. But no, really, they teach all that they can. They have high expectations and they see something in us and it keeps them going.
While the students were in rehearsal, I found a recent alum of the program.
Hi, I'm Shantara Mathis. I'm 18 years old.
Who joined me just outside of the studio to describe a typical rehearsal. The floor is shaking.
Yeah, it really is. It's like that.
Which was not designed to be easy.
Yeah, it's very intense, especially when we have core every day before we come in class.
Ready? 5, 6. 7, kick it, and a 1.
We do abs, like the crunches, then we do push-ups, and then we do a lot of leg work to warm up our legs, and then we do a lot of point and flexing with our feet.
Point your foot, point 1.
So that we can gain more contact with our bodies.
And a 4, oh God, that leg's too low, 1.
After core, then we go straight into ballet, into bar, and where we're doing balancés and fortes and coupes and stuff. So it's really nice. And then we start working on choreography that we learned.
Point the foot, 4, side, 1.
I think that what I am trying to pass on to the kids at this point is the fact that if there's something that you want, you're going to have to work hard to get it. And it's not going to be enough to just be good or to be the best. You have to be the best. And you have to know what you did to get there and make sure that you stay at that level.
The after-school program I'm visiting today, called the Advanced Arts Education Program, is only one of about 7 community education programs that the Joffrey offers. These students are pretty advanced, but there is an even more intensive program that they can graduate to. It's called the Exelon Strobel Step-Up Program. And many of these students grew up in Joffrey's younger programs, such as their middle school dance clubs, which were the first community education programs started by the company in 1996, not too long after the company moved to Chicago from New York City.
We were still establishing our roots here, trying to establish a presence here. And I mean, what better way to really go out and establish a presence than to say, we're going out and we're working with kids from Chicago Public Schools to introduce them to dance, to introduce them to the Joffrey Ballet, to show them what the benefits of the program can have, and to give those kids from these neighborhoods an opportunity to travel around, to perform, and to experience the city.
Do you still remember that moment when you saw the first kids or your first kids come in for the first time? And
yeah, I guess my probably first reaction would have been, oh my God.
And from the very beginning of Joffrey's middle school dance programs, the company has tried to ease the middle school students into ballet, such as with this year's 70s theme.
Not necessarily do something like Giselle or Swan Lake to really get them interested.
What music are they choosing for the 70s, or are you choosing for the 70s?
They don't generally like the stuff that I like, so I kind of, we have to go through and let them hear something. We have, at one of my schools, the kids are working with We Are Family from Sister Sledge.
To them, this music is new, probably, to a lot of them.
It is new to a lot of them, but what they're finding out is it's something different, and that's what I really love about the program. We look at the culture from the 70s, look at what was happening in the 70s. Then we look at working with the students to learn dance steps from the 70s, and then they start to create the dances. So you can say, okay, I want everybody to do the spank, everybody to do the stomp the roach, everybody do the GQ or the snake or the robot. So they all have these steps, and then they make little modifications to the steps to really give it a twist that's their own. One girl came in and I said, I had taught her the spank. No, I taught her the four corners. And she said, you know what? I talked to my aunt and she said, that's not the four corners, it's something else. So now they have a four corners that I taught them, and then they have the original four corners that's somebody else. So, and then when we talk.
Can I ask what the four corners is?
You want a demonstration? I'll demonstrate it for you later.
But for Pierre, the point of all of this, of all of Joffrey's dance and education programs and all of this hard work, is not necessarily to create more dancers.
What really is the issue is that the kids recognize when they're tired that you still have to go on. Because when you go to college, nobody's going to care that you stayed out and partied all night. When the paper is due at 9 o'clock in the morning, either you're going to have the paper done or you're not going to have the paper done. And if you don't feel like going to college, if you don't feel like going to class, no professor is going to call you up to find out how you're doing today. And I think what winds up happening for a lot of kids, if they don't get that at home, when they go off, whether it's to take SAT test or to go to another audition somewhere, if they're not really prepared for what, if they're not really prepared to go in and give it their absolute 100%, then the chances of them actually getting what they're going for won't happen.
Back in rehearsal with the After School Matters teen program in Gallery 37, I meet back up with my new friends, India and Juan. What's it like being a guy in a ballet class?
Well, that's a little difficult. I mean, we get through it.
And after all of this talk about dance, I become inspired and ask them to give me a quick ballet lesson to teach me the four basic ballet steps.
Four?
Is there
five.
Oh, five. Excuse
five.
Me.
There's really six, but we'll show you five. Five.
Your heels together, toes apart. When you look down, you're supposed to see like a V. That's first. And then you take a step out.
Why do you continue in this? It's so much work, and it looks really tiring, but you look like you're having fun. Why do you continue with ballet and dance?
If you want to reach your dreams, you got to go through the fire to get it, and Pierre is the fire, and I'm going to go get my dream, and he's going to make me better, and I know he cares, and life is going to be hard as a dancer, but got to keep going. You want it bad enough, you'll go get it.
You're really good. Yeah. You're good.
And you got to remember to point your toes at all times.
Point your toes at all times.
Although it might seem like really intense and hard, and at the end of the day, you're completely exhausted and you just don't want to do anything but curl up into a big giant ball and just fall asleep. But at the end of the day, it feels good to know that you actually learn something new and you go beyond your extent.
How'd I do?
You did really good because you have nice turnout, and it takes a lot of people a while to get that hip thing going on for them.
Without this program, like, I see no point, because this program teaches a lot of performing arts, not just dance, but theater, music, vocal, or any other performing arts out there. And it teaches students to be more involved with the community, as well as be more involved with yourself.
When you have bad posture, what happens?
Oh, you get hit with stick. No.
And for the record, there is no stick hitting at the Joffrey Ballet.
All right, everybody, get a drink of water and come back.
That was WFMT producer David Polk's profile of the Joffrey Ballet's after-school program for teens. The program is run in partnership with After School Matters. David, you referenced at least one other program the Joffrey offers students. How many community programs do they actually have?
Well, on their website, they list 7 programs, wow, both in the Joffrey's studios downtown and also at schools around the city. They also have a discounted ticket program for school groups to come see the Nutcracker every year. Their Exelon Strobel Step Up program has traveled around the world representing Chicago. It's a very busy place, and these programs have been with the company, as we heard, ever since they moved to Chicago about, I don't know, 15 years ago. And that's in addition to their Dance Academy, which is a full-fledged ballet school downtown. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to mention, too, that the program we just heard about is not only about classic ballet. The students also learn other styles of dance, so it's a very well-rounded dance education and a very large commitment for those students.
And you learned a few steps.
Yes.
Well, thanks, David. You can listen to that profile again or leave us a message on our website, WFMT.com/artsafterschool, or you can find us on Facebook. We'll be back in a moment.
This program has been created in partnership with the Chicago Community Trust, our region's community foundation for more than 95 years. Please visit their website at www.cct.org for more information on the Arts Learning Initiative and to learn how you can help.
Welcome back to Arts After School, the final of 4-hour-long programs on WFMT this month, exploring some of the many arts education programs that students in the city come into contact with. We just heard about some dance students at the Joffrey. Now we'll hear about students participating in the dance education program at Deeply Rooted Dance Theater, a contemporary modern dance company based in the African-American tradition, and which, as Noel Morris learned, assigns not only dance moves but writing assignments to its students.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Don't worry what people say. We know the truth.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Enough is enough of this garbage.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I'm Angela Patman. I'm a first company member with Deeply Rooted, and I'm the artistic director of this program here at South Shore. The first thing I had them write about was this poem called Our Deepest Fear by Mary Ann Williamson. It's a poem that was read to me when I first came into Deeply Rooted over the summer. And one of the choreographers actually gave the poem to me again recently when I was having trouble with a piece that we were doing.
Angela Patman is part of Chicago-based dance company, Deeply Rooted. Apart from dancing in world-class productions, Angela teaches classes across the Chicago area, including a number in distressed communities. For artistic director Kevin Ayega-Jeff, both roles are essential to the organization he co-founded in 1995.
You know, I get kind of annoyed when people say, oh, we should have art in school because it can help with mathematics, or kids will end up reading better.
Ayega has taken an incredible journey through dance. In the 70s, he attended New York City's High School for the Performing Arts, the very place that inspired the 1980 film Fame. He went on to the Juilliard School and then to dance on Broadway. At 21, he founded a New York dance company that made no less than 8 European tours before being decimated by the AIDS epidemic. At Deeply Rooted, he's created a culture where art and spirit go hand in hand.
Yeah, art is about humanity. So there's no need for me to justify it because the kids will end up reading better. Now, I believe all of that, and I think that that's all true and wonderful. You know, those are definitely outgrowths of the artistic process. However, I think art is very important because it is about human expression. It is about reflection. It is about communication. It's about things that we just need to do. It's like breathing. We need air. We need air to breathe, and we need art. And it's really just that simple.
I followed Deeply Rooted dancers Angela Patman and Joshua L. Ishman to South Shore High School. South Shore is the alma mater of Tony Award-winning actor Mandy Patinkin and molecular biologist James D. Watson, who went on to win the Nobel Prize. Today, South Shore High School makes headlines for a different reason, gun violence.
What I know that happens in South Shore is that they don't have art. You go through metal detectors. I think of it as a prison. You know, I think that the kids are being almost prepared to go to prison. I mean, they walk in, there's a police car sitting out front that greets them. I mean, I know the cops are there to protect them, but the very fact that that is what needs to happen for a child to go to school is ridiculous to me. There's no potential, or no way, I should say, to build community when it's a police state. The school is run like a preparatory prison.
Okay. Now jump off your foot. Jump off your foot. Reach to the ceiling. Go. Reach to the ceiling. Go.
It's people trying to make the best of a really bad situation.
So look, that my foot's going to reach to the ceiling. My hand's going to reach to the ceiling. My face.
We are there because I know those communities. And I know that there's great minds working in those communities. I know that there are great teachers working to do the best that they can in those schools. I know that there are students who are probably doing some great and wonderful work. But I also know that when you're in that type of an environment, you are not privileged to information about eating well. You're not privileged to information about exercising. You might get it told to you, but there's no process in which to engage students to really have them explore themselves and better themselves through that.
One, two, three. Now look at me, because you never want to take your eyes off of me, because otherwise, bam, you got it.
One feature of a dance program with Deeply Rooted is dialogue. The teachers require students to keep a journal of their thoughts and feelings about the class.
Journaling is a very important part of my life, and especially my experience with Deeply Rooted. And because it's such a big part of who I am, I really want to share that with the kids, because I feel like it's helped me grow up so much. And especially in an environment where maybe children's opinions don't matter, I think it's important for them to have a free space where they can express it through movement, and where they are also able to express it through writing and maybe talk about the experience that they're having, you know.
South Shore senior Tommy Thomas had his doubts about the writing portion of a dance class.
The journals was difficult because they had you like explain, they had you write down feelings and emotions and stuff. And sometimes I really had nothing to write because I was kind of neutral about the whole situation. So sometimes it'll be difficult to come up with something to write in the journal, but sometimes you'll be like really quick because the program like made you experience things that you thought you never had.
it's all connected. Today, the project for the writing was They Don't Really Care About Us, which is the title of the music that they're using. So what they're writing about, hopefully, they'll be able to bring across in the art of the dance, you know.
We ask you to write down three tangible goals. They are then tucked away. We check in to see how it's going. Some people say, hey, it's going great. I'm having a great time. Some people say, I hate this. It's horrible. I'm not having a great time. And you delve into questions. Why? It's usually because there's some type of block. And if the community can help them understand what that is, or if they can just speak it, it helps them get to the other side. And then by the time they open the envelopes and they're actually reflecting upon their goals, you'd be surprised at how many of those goals change dramatically. The initial goals are usually based in something that is superficial. Like, for instance, I do three pirouettes now. I want to get a fourth turn. I want to do a fourth pirouette. Now, that's a nice technical achievement to have. But in contrast to, wow, my motivation for turning is because the story requires an extra turn. So I have a emotional commitment and I have a poetic commitment to communicate something through those turns. And now I understand why it's even important to have a pirouette at all.
Five, six, seven,
and it's often pushed kids, go to kids in the arts and whatnot. But I think if we're not paying attention to our elders, that's a problem because we are all interconnected. That's why generally what we do is an assessment, and we kind of assess what the goals are of the organization or school that we're serving. And through that assessment, we can ask the questions, okay, you may want to focus primarily on youth, okay, but what's going on with your elders? And what's going on with your people in the office? What's going on in all the various places? And then if there's an opportunity to integrate their interests somehow in the program, we think that that's very important because it's a way to build community.
And it's all about community. A community that cares for and celebrates the individual. Tommy Thomas likes to share his experience with Deeply Rooted.
Like when I go to parties, sometimes I like do the moves that I learned from the program. And then people would come to me like, can you teach me? And I like teach the whole party and stuff.
Ayega would be the first to admit that some people are not about to dance, but he's no less committed to their place in the community.
If they don't want to dance, you can bring them into a process where they watch what's going on in the studio. They can ask questions, which is really wonderful because then they get to hear their kids speak about what they're learning. And you should see how lights go on when parents are witnessing this other part of their children that they don't get to see.
That was a profile of the Deeply Rooted Dance Theater's Youth Ensemble, brought to us by WFMT producer Noel Morris, who joins me at the microphone right now.
Noel, I loved your interview with the founder of Deeply Rooted, and especially what he said about arts education, and that he hates it when people justify the existence of arts education because they think it will improve math scores.
Yeah, I think he's onto something. He's really aware of how arts, it enhances a community in so many different ways. You can't really listen. It's not just about math. It's about ideas, expression, creativity, about doing things together that don't involve electronics or whatever it is. You know, it's about togetherness and community. And they address that in their program as well. They've got this great group called Mature Hot Women. And HOT is spelled H, is an acronym for health conscious, optimistic, triumphant. The idea being that anybody can dance, anybody can express themselves or take part in a community that's centered around dance or any art.
So this is another ensemble of Deeply Rooted.
That's right. Because in Ayega's mind, focusing on the kids is important, but the kids need strong adults in their lives as well. So he's about addressing the entire community and the organizations that serve kids.
So if somebody is now interested in checking out the professional ensembles or seeing these groups
in action, where can they go?
Well, you can look at their website, deeplyrooted.org, and find out their performance times. But there are also a lot of interesting productions that you can see on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And I've gone and watched some of those. Those are beautiful.
Well, we'll be sure to put some of those on our webpage, wfmt.com/artsafterschool. Thanks, Noelle.
Thanks, David.
Coming up in a moment, we'll hear about Chicago's About Face Theater and the new Chicago High School for the Arts. Please stay with us. This program has been created in partnership with the Chicago Community Trust, our region's community foundation for more than 95 years. Please visit their website at www.cct.org for more information on the Arts Learning Initiative and to learn how you can help.
This is Arts After School and the last of four programs exploring arts education in Chicago. Well, we just heard two profiles of dance programs stretching the comfort zones of their students with ballet and contemporary dance. But we'll now hear about a theater company that's trying to make its students more comfortable with who they are. WFMT's program director Peter Wharf brought us this profile of Chicago's About Face Theater, which tells the stories of Chicago's queer communities.
About Face Theater is one of Chicago's many presenters of live theater performances. The group describes its mission as one which creates exceptional, innovative, and adventurous plays to advance the national dialogue on gender and sexual identity, and to challenge and entertain audiences in Chicago, across the country, and around the world. A strong arm of About Face Theater is its youth theater program, which promotes further discussion of the group's artistic and social mission. About Face Theater's youth program was founded 12 years ago, partly in response to the death of Matthew Shepard, the University of Wyoming student who was tortured and murdered in 1998. Witnesses at the trial of Shepard's killers stated that the 21-year-old was targeted because of his sexual orientation. Subsequently, About Face Theater's youth program was created to practice theater activism and training for all GLBT people age 14 to 21 in theater skills, social justice, leadership, storytelling, and interviewing. Sarah Karostas is About Face's Education Programs Director. I caught up with this busy theater administrator by phone during her recent trip to New York City for a meeting of stage presenters. She discussed youth programming at About Face, which involves the creation of performances through story gathering. Karostas told me how this leads to a series of biennial public presentations.
At the culmination of that two-year process, we will have a full-length script, and we will cast, you know, a number of youth in the show, and they get paid and professionally mentored with the help of a full production team. And the show is part of About Face Theater's main stage season. So once every 2 years, a youth show is actually, you know, part of the main stage season with About Face Theater.
I asked Sarah Karostas how this 12-year-old program attracts new participants.
Generally, it's word of mouth. You know, we have kind of a reputation in the community. When the theater was first started, there wasn't a space that existed like this in Chicago where young queer folks could come and have their voice heard and have their voice developed artistically, and then and also, you know, get sort of professionally mentored as well. So there's sort of that community knowledge of it. We also, part of the education department at About Face is that we do touring plays to high schools and colleges around the city, the state, and the country. Without fail, there's always, you know, a handful of young folks who come up to us after the show that then end up getting involved in one way or another.
Karostas emphasized the importance of About Face Youth Theater stories as the gathered oral histories of real people.
And I think for young people, that's really unique because at school, they don't often get that, right? Everyone's so anxious about protecting people from language and from issues and really only letting certain things be exposed in the schools. And when you just sort of talk normally about stuff, about language, as if it's used normally, because it is used normally, people find that really refreshing.
Brittany Fryer is one About Face participant. She's a Walter Payton High School senior who heads to Carleton College in Minnesota this fall. Brittany came to About Face Theater in her high school theater program through a different performance experience that began before her high school career.
So in the 7th and 8th grade, I started doing slam poetry in Chicago with Louder Than a Bomb and Young Chicago Authors, and that kind of made me a little confident. And then the summer between my junior and sophomore year, I joined About Face through one of their summer intensives. And I just went, and I didn't really know what it was, but I had a friend that was in it, and I wanted to spend time with him over the summer, so we just did it, and I really liked it. And since then, like, he's aged out of the program, and I'm still in it because I like it so much. And because of About Face, I've then joined drama at Payton, like, this year only.
I asked Brittany to give me a sample of her poetry.
I wrote this piece for the Louder Than a Bomb competition that just wrapped up, so it's about Chicago and trains, so here's a little excerpt of it. I sometimes ride the Brown Line for visual posterity to get away from the dark and disparity of rundown red subway walls. I make sure I get a single seat so I can sit back indiscreet with my cheap plastic camera taking images after photographs after pictures of Chi-Town opulence. And that's a little excerpt of that.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what was Brittany's road to About Face?
At first, I was looking for an internship in, like, the city, so, and I wanted to do something with, like, gay rights, gay activism, so I found About Face, because I remember, like, I was just thinking of places that my friend was naming, and I remember he did About Face, so I just contacted one of the artistic associates there named Paula, and I was like, could I get an internship? Like, would that be possible? And she just told me to come in, and she interviewed me, and she said that she would love to have me writing for About Face, but I should check out, like, the summer intensive for teenagers. And I did, and the summer intensive was more about acting, but and I really liked it. And we also got to write, so it was, like, everything I wanted, and I'd say it was better than what I was hoping. Like, I really didn't want to, like, sit there and do internship office work, so it was, like, the best thing. And then later, when they were auditioning for shows, I just auditioned, and I got one of the parts in the last show, Queertopia.
After landing at About Face Youth Theater programs, Brittany began applying her newfound theater tools to her high school slam poetry team.
I've used so many, like, tactics that I've learned from About Face in my poetry. Like, I basically became the coach this year because our Payton's program with the Poetry Center of Chicago, like, got cut off. So I was coaching, and I just, like, stole everything from About Face, and I was like, oh, we'll use this game to work on this, and will make you louder by practicing this technique. And I use like so many like things that I learned in About Face to make my poetry team like a little better. So that was cool.
I asked Brittany Fryer to elaborate on the notion of collecting real stories and applying them to About Face projects.
When we write for About Face, we're usually story collecting. So we'll interview people about like these your experience based on like our topic. So last year our topic was violence within our own community. So when talking to people, we like write down their stories and then we think of how we can fit that into like the world of a narrative. So I guess it's just like making something creative out of like the basic what you're given. So like when in poetry, if I wanted to write about the train, I'm not gonna write the train runs on the tracks. Like I'm using more like creative tactics to like make this story something that like it isn't and like elevate it to a point that it's really creative and really artistic. And I think bringing my poetry into About Face has just made me like more of a confident person on stage. I think that's what poetry has like brought into theater for me.
Another train provided another setting for a story Brittany told me, this time not through poetry, but one of the scenes presented by her About Face group.
Well, there was a story that we collected and we used it in Queertopia, and it was a story of it happened on a class trip to New York, and these people were on the train and they were listening to their iPod and they were feeling the music, and it was a group of dancers on their way to like a dance competition, and this boy just started dancing on the train and he was just like letting everything out, and this little woman on the train said, "You shouldn't be dancing that way. That's not the way God intended you to be." And he said, and I hope I get this right, "If God made me and everything God makes is perfect, then he made perfection when he created me." And he didn't get angry. He just said that and just left. I saw that story from when it was told to us all the way to it being in the final show. And I love that, like, it came alive. It gets me every time. I really like that story. What you see on TV when you think of like queer people, you think of, oh, coming out stories where gay people are bullied and they're the victims. Like, there's more complexity to that. I want audience to take away that like there's more to just what you see on TV. There's more than what's in movies. Like, the stories are real. So I hope that they connect to those. Like, we didn't make this up. This is stuff that happens. Like, notice it and notice it in your own community and like try to find a way to fix it.
WFMT's program director, Peter Worf, profiled the About Face Theater, a theater company that tells the stories of Chicago's queer communities. And Peter joins me at the microphone right now. Peter, it sounds like they were really busy. You were calling them in New York City and here in Chicago.
I was. I reached Sarah Karastas, who's the director of education programs at About Face Theater. And she was literally walking the walk, I think you could hear in that story, at the time. She was at a conference of theater groups meeting in New York City to discuss this understanding of sexual and gender issues, which clearly begin at a young age. You know, these aren't things that are just explored by adults, but as she pointed out and as About Face Theater's program illustrates, issues that are important to kids at age 14 to 21, probably even before.
A theater just seems like the perfect outlet to discuss this sort of thing because the students are automatically entered into a group where they can feel comfortable.
I think you could sense that through what Brittany Fryer had to say, the student in About Face Theater. Mm-hmm. And I think she displayed her empowerment in her ability to gather stories, to write, to perform, and to be associated with like-minded people mm-hmm. that she had a real affinity with.
Well, thanks, Peter.
You're welcome, David.
Remember, you can listen to this and any of the programs in this series on our website, wfmt.com/artsafterschool. That's also where you can contact us with your thoughts on arts education. This may be the last program in this series, but the discussion continues online. We'll be back in a moment.
Ha, 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 ha
This is Arts After School, WFMT series exploring the world of arts education. This is the last program in the series, and we've heard about many different types of programs trying to bring more arts into the lives of Chicago students. Most of the programs we profile take place after school, and a few blurred the line between in-school and after-school, but the next institution that we'll be hearing about doesn't get hung up on after-school or in-school. We're talking about the Chicago High School for the Arts. It's about arts education nearly all the time, and David Polk visited this relatively new high school near the end of their very first year of existence last spring.
For the main event of its opening dinner celebration last fall, Chi Arts administrators presented a sneak preview of a remake of the beloved 1980 film Fame about a performing arts high school in New York. Do you get tired of, I imagine, constantly being compared to Fame?
Yes.
That's Jose Ochoa.
And I'm the executive and artistic director of the Chicago High School for the Arts.
As one would imagine, in a real-life, non-Hollywood arts high school,
there's a lot of grit, and, you know, it's not as glamorous as people expect, I guess, or I think. So I like to show the grit. You know, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of sweat and tears involved.
The remake of Fame turned out to be a flop. But Chicago's first public high school for the arts on the South Side has in its first year been, by almost all measures, a success.
Yeah, I feel like we've been pretty successful. And the film was fun for us to just see where our future is going, you know, just to see how the kids are going to grow and mature and grow in the arts.
It's clear, walking around the school, that there's a lot of artistic growing going on. There are students photographing, dancing, painting, acting. And in this piano class for vocal performance majors, music scales are on the agenda today.
F major scale is our new scale for this, yes, technique period. We have C, D, G. My name's Mary Martell, and I'm one of the teachers here at Chi Arts. And we're teaching them over the course of 4 years how to not only sing and work well in ensembles, but also how to play the piano.
All right, that's quite nice, Shantae.
That song on piano, by the way, was performed by Shantavia Weatherly.
Well, it's not a song. Okay, it's Amadeus. A piece. That's right, by Wolfie. Okay. Not Mozart. That's like the Ozarks. No, it's Mozart.
Across the hallway from piano technique class, I visited the beginning drawing class and met student Gillian Griffin.
Right now, we're making basically a color palette for our patterned self-portraits, and so what we're doing is mixing colors and then writing down the recipe for it and just experimenting with color.
Yeah, you have a beautiful color combination there.
Yeah, we've just been working with color because this is going to be our first time painting in color or using color really at all, so it's kind of exciting.
Gillian still remembers the day that she received her acceptance letter last year. At first, she was put on the wait list.
So I was like, oh, man. And then I got another letter. I'm like, oh, what's this for? And I opened up. It was like, you've been accepted. I was like, yay. I was so happy because I really wanted to be here. I was excited.
About 600 applicants tried for only 150 spots in this freshman class, a lot more than anybody expected. And this despite the fact that prospective students knew it wouldn't be easy.
I knew there was going to be a lot more work than the art classes I had before, which was kind of just do whatever you want. I knew it was going to be a lot more serious, but I'm glad because I was always disappointed that I didn't have a serious art class where I could really learn something about art, and now I can.
A lot of these extra hours in class during the first year go towards learning or relearning the basics of art, music, or dance. Since many talented students in Chicago, after all, don't have access to lessons and teachers growing up, the admissions committee considers students based on factors such as raw talent, potential, and most importantly, for their desire to learn. I met a student, for example, who...
My name is Aaron Powell. I'm a freshman at Chicago High School for the Arts, and I am a vocalist, which is in the music category.
Learned to sing in church, but had never taken formal lessons before Chi Arts. Can you sing a little bit? Can she sing a little bit?
Yesterday, I told myself I was gonna be okay, gonna start a new day, truly happy. I was gonna take control of me, but eventually reality
So did you sing before you came to Chai Arts?
I wasn't taking lessons, but I sung at church.
Do you think that learning, being here for this year, has really improved your singing?
It has. My mom's told me that when I sing, I sound more stronger and my breathing is getting better. It makes me feel like I'm a professional when I know how to sing, and I'm singing opera because I didn't always like opera, but when I came here, I started liking it.
So what's your dream to one day be?
My dream is to be a jazz singer, a gospel singer, R&B singer, an opera singer, just a singer. I love to sing.
So now you're a lot closer to that than you were before.
I'm very close.
And the most important part of bringing them closer to their potential are teachers such as Mary Martel, whose greatest pleasure working here is
to infuse somebody's life, with this much quality education at this young age, whether they pursue musical careers or not. It's absolutely life-changing. I mean, I don't know too many 14, 15-year-old young men and women that beg to sing Amarili. I really, and they do. And, you hear one do an R&B, and then the next minute she's standing up singing Italian art song, you know, Renaissance music. It's incredible.
This being an arts high school, the piano class I visited broke into, without hesitation, a beautiful rendition of Amarili. The idea for Chai Arts, says Jose Ochoa, came about 6 years ago when two foundations,
Elizabeth Morse and Elizabeth Morse Genius, they posed a question to the music community about why there's a lack of diversity in professional music in Chicago. They, along with other foundations, support a lot of outreach programs in the city, and they discovered there was this hole, this missing link. What they discovered was that Chicago was the largest city in the country without a public high school for the arts. So we were approved to open in 2009. That's the very short version of the history.
And from the very first day of school, students realized that it's not only about making art. Chai Arts is a rigorous college prep program.
It's a really long day. It's 8 to 5, and it's rigorous, and it's demanding.
Was it a bummer to learn that you would still have to take all the other subjects and even longer than before, in addition to all of your arts classes?
Yes, I didn't know that until like the first day of school. They did not mention that.
But despite that little surprise, says Haley Smith, a student I met in a different music class, Chai Arts has still been worth it.
It's been fun. I have to admit that this school gives me, it's just so much fun, because at my old school it was just boring. Nothing exciting happened until I came here. It's just like a big, how can I describe this? Like a play every day. I get to have fun. I play every day, and I still learn something. That's what's fun.
WFMT producer David Polk profiled the Chicago High School for the Arts. Well, David, we've come to the end of a month-long series, and I wanted to ask you some of your overall impressions about all of the topics we covered. But I have to say, my own impressions are at least two. First of all, I've been impressed with the diversity of the arts groups in town. I mean, it's theater, it's ballet, it's classical music, it's jazz, it's film, that these institutions are making to produce programs in the schools. And I don't imagine it's particularly profitable, but it's something they feel that they've got to do. That's one thing. Maybe you can comment on that. And then the second thing, for some of the students that we've heard from, these are life-changing programs
mm-hmm.
for them.
Yes.
I think, for example, of Facets and that student who went all over the world participating in film critique programs and who's going to have a career in film. And I also think of some of the kids who studied opera, who, you know, would have laughed at the notion of singing opera. They thought it was silly. And then as soon as they get into it, it's changed their lives.
Well, this is just my opinion, but after having the opportunity to observe all of these students in these arts programs, it just seems to me that it's important for students to just have something that they can grab onto besides their studies that they can work hard at. And the arts provide a perfect space for that. And that I'm sure that sports do the same thing for kids who are interested in sports. But it's just nice to have options for students for something to do in addition to their studies. And you're right. Education has become a part of the missions of all kinds of different arts organizations in Chicago, and not only the established ones, but there are people starting new organizations who start off off the bat with proposals for arts education programs to be a part of their mission from the very beginning of their existence. So it's just been impressive how that has come along in the city, and also how the philanthropic communities and these arts organizations have been working together to kind of steer this whole ship. But hopefully one day we'll see a band director and a choir director and an orchestra director and arts teachers full-time in every single school. I think that would be a great ultimate goal.
Well, let's hope. My hat's off to all of the institutions that we've profiled, to the schools for accepting them into their classrooms, and for the kids for devoting so much time and effort to the programs that they've seen. So thanks very much, David. And my hat's off to you, by the way, for being the producer of all of these. You've supervised this entire project. And our thanks, of course, to the Chicago Community Trust for making it possible for us to do this series.
Thanks, Stephen. Also, thanks to all of the teachers who let us barge into their rooms with our big microphones and follow them like a fly on the wall for a lot of these profiles.
Well, thanks again, David. Now, if you missed part of this series, you can listen again at WFMT.com/artsafterschool. And we invite you to leave us your thoughts about arts education or about this series. Drop us a note on our Facebook page or click on the Chime In link on our homepage at WFMT.com. Arts After School is an original production of 98.7 WFMT. The managing producer is David Polk, and the profiles heard today were produced by David and our program director Peter Wharf and Noel Morris. I'm Steve Robinson, the executive producer of this series. For more on arts education, tune in the national series From the Top, which airs Sunday evenings at 7 on WFMT, or our own series Introductions, which airs Saturday mornings at 11. Thanks for joining us for Arts After School.